Joshua chapter 4, and I'm going to read the whole chapter. So this is God's Word, and it was written a long time ago, but it was written by the Holy Spirit with you in mind here this evening, so bear that in mind as you give attention to the reading of God's Word. Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 to verse 24. And it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, Take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, What do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so, and just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day. So the priests who bore the Ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua, and the people hurried and crossed over. Then it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over, that the ark of the Lord and the priests crossed over in the presence of the people. And the men of Reuben, we read in verse 12, the men of Gad, the half-tribe of Manasseh, crossed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses had spoken to them. About 40,000 prepared for war crossed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they had feared Moses all the days of his life. Then the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Command the priests who bear the ark of the testimony to come up from the Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, Come up from the Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord had come from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet touched the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. And then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. And that's where we'll end this evening. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we simply ask that you would bless this word to our hearts. Make what is already living alive to us and a tremendously deep blessing to our souls. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In 1912, my great-grandfather returns a boat ticket, which, as it turned out, proved to be a tremendous blessing for me because 2 days afterwards, the Titanic sank. And that would have been the end of my family, would be the end of me. As my parents shared that story with me this past week, I was just struck by God's providential care over our family in preserving us. And I was struck with this thought that it's so important for one generation to share with another generation God's tremendous blessings, His grace, especially through tough times, especially through adversity. Chapter 4 is all about that. It's about remembering. Actually, it's about recalling God's goodness through tough times. The cross of the Jordan was an impossible situation, and yet God brought His people through. No problem. And now God is saying to His people through Joshua, I want you to build a memorial. Actually, I think He told Joshua to build two. One on the west bank, one on the riverbank, and one in the riverbed. And these things were to be a lasting memorial, telling future generations, actually more than just future generations, because in verse 24, if you look down there for a second, really the whole point of the whole chapter is summed up. Here's why God told them to build these memorials. Why? Number one, that all the peoples of the earth might know what? The hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. That was the whole point of the memorial, that the whole world would know that the hand of our God is a mighty hand, it's a powerful hand. And then also that you, it says, God's people, that is, would what? Fear the Lord. And so that's the point of the memorial. That's why God told Joshua to set up these two memorials, one on the river bank and the other on the river bed. It was that the whole wide world would know that God's a mighty God with a great big mighty hand, and that you, God's people, would fear the Lord your God forever and ever and ever. And so, here we are. We're in chapter 4 this evening, and we've just watched an amazing river crossing. In this life, you're going to cross a river too. There will be all kinds of Jordan crossings, all kinds of troubles to get through, all kinds of impossible situations. And you know what? When God brings you through, you got a job to do. You know what that job is? It is to tell people about what the Lord has done for you. To establish a lasting memorial that just broadcasts all the good things that God has done bringing you through tough times. Do you understand that? Because God wants the world to know how great and mighty His hand is, and He wants you, His people, to fear Him. Okay. Well, listen. Let's get specific about this evening. There are a couple things that I believe God wants you to be telling others, other generations, other people, this whole wide world, the people of God. Two things specifically. One is this. Tell them that God carried you to the riverbank. Tell them that God carried you to the riverbank. That's where we are right now. We're on the riverbank. All of God's people, all 2 million of them, have crossed over, and they're on the west bank. They're on the riverbank. They're at Gilgal. And they crossed over the river, right? No, actually the river had been turned off 14 miles upstream. What would normally have been the river was turned off, and they walked through on dry land, and there they are. They're on the bank of the Jordan, and they're dry, and they're cozy, and they're warm, and they're snug. And it's great because the river's behind them, and it's all finished, right? No, it's not. God says to Joshua, Joshua, you choose 12 men from the people and send them back into the river. And their job was this, to go pick out 12 stones and to put them on their shoulders and to heave them up and drop them on the west bank, on the riverbank. And that's what they did. I'm thinking 12 big burly men probably shimmied down into the Jordan River. They looked around. They found 12 stones. They put them on their shoulders and they heaved them back up, dropped them down. And then we're told later in the chapter that Joshua took those stones and he began to form and shape them into a memorial. I have no idea what that was like. I do not know what shape it took, do you? I know one thing though, it stood out. Because that's what a memorial is supposed to do. It's supposed to stand out. You think of Stonehenge. Stonehenge is about 16 miles, 16 kilometers north of Salisbury, England. We know it's there because it stands out. It's just that we have no clue why it was made. We don't know why it was made or how those stones got to that place, because they're certainly not native to the area. You walk by Stonehenge and the thing sticks out like a sore thumb. And that's what a memorial is supposed to do. This thing would have stood out. Even if you didn't understand what it meant, you would see it as you're walking by. Even if you were perplexed as to what it meant, you would know that the thing was there, right? It was a memorial. And you know what? Nobody would have had a clue what the thing meant, except that God told his people that they were to tell their children and future generations and those around them what it was all about. Right? And so, picture this for a minute. There you've got mom and dad, and they've got little Samuel, and they're visiting Gilgal Memorial Park, and they're walking through, and Samuel says to his parents, "Mom, Dad, look at those stones. What are those stones about?" And mom and dad say, "Well, Samuel, let me tell you about that. Those stones are from that river. And we took them out when God's people crossed the Jordan River. And then Joshua, he put them together. And it's just an amazing story about what God did for us, Samuel." And Samuel says, "Dad, Mom, that's a great story." And Mom and Dad, the God who did that for them, that's the same God we serve, right? Isn't that our God, Mom and Dad? "You betcha, Samuel, that's our God." What would that do to a little boy? Songwriter Rich Mullins says that stories like that make a young boy bold, don't they? They do. Stories like that make a young boy bold. And that was the whole point of the memorial. It was to educate and teach people about the great things that God had done, how he had taken them across the river to the riverbank. You know what I think? I think that we need to learn to tell people about how he's brought us to the riverbank in life. I do. You think of the struggles that you've been through. You think of the trials that you've endured. And those things, they're not just your story, okay? They're not just your story. They may feel intensely personal because you went through them. But you know what? God led you through those things for a very good reason, not just for your own sake, but for others as well. Because God wants you to take those stories and relate them. Stories about how God took you through hard times, through impossible situations, and brought you to the riverbank and delivered you. Because you know what? There are a lot of people in this world who could really stand to be blessed by hearing about a God who is that powerful, that mighty, that wonderful, that gracious. Do you have those stories? We sang Psalm 20 tonight. I always find it very difficult to sing that psalm, especially the first few words. "The Lord in your distress attend." Because those are the words that my pastor brought to Wendy and I when Alexander was sick in the hospital with spinal meningitis. And those words were administered to us and a blessing to our soul and really lifted our head in a difficult time. And the Lord brought us through that situation. Friends, how many situations has God brought you through? How many Jordan crossings have you endured in this life? When we go through them, we think to ourselves, "This is my lot." Friends, it's not just your lot. It's a story for other people. And if God's brought you to the riverbank, then you've got a story to tell, right? And there are people out there who are waiting to hear that story. I'm not just talking about the unbeliever. I'm talking about the believer as well, because the whole point is that the whole world would know the mighty hand of God and that God's people would fear His name. You got a story about how God brought you to the riverbank? You should open your mouth and tell people about that. And don't worry about appearing self-centered and egotistical. God certainly did not have that concern. We told Joshua to set up the memorial, right, on the west bank, on the riverbank. If you've been delivered to the riverbank, friends, you've got a story to tell. And believe me, I know that some of you have got a story to tell. So tell it. That's what God wants. But you know what? It is an amazing testimony to tell people how God's brought you to the riverbank. But you know what makes for an even greater testimony, I think, and a greater memorial? It's not just that He brought you to the riverbank, but that He met you on the riverbed itself. And that is a great testimony. And you know what? That was Joshua's testimony. That was Joshua's testimony. When all Israel was passing across the river, last week we saw it, I bet you many of them were looking up at what they thought was going to be the encroaching water, or they had their eyes on the opposing river bank. And so they missed God, who was symbolized and who was there in a special way, where? With the Ark of the Covenant, but not Joshua. We're told that when all Israel got to the other side, Joshua did something. You know what he did? He went back down into that river all by himself. And he picked up 12 stones. Children, did you know that? Joshua went down and he picked up 12 stones. And he heaved them, well, he didn't heave them anyway, but he began to build an altar right there, a memorial. Right where the place, at the place where the priest stood, where God was, he built an altar. He built a memorial. That's a man who met his God on the riverbed. Many of the trials that we endure in this life, we do badly. We do. Hard times hit, and what do we think? God has left us. He's forsaken us. I'm on my own. I'm all alone here. And you know what? The way that we live in trial often reflects that. We go through them badly oftentimes, don't we? Joshua came to an impossible situation, and he had his eyes focused on the ark. He had his eyes focused on God. He met his God on the riverbed. I'm always amazed by people who meet God there. You know people who meet God there? I talked with a man a while back who was meeting his God on the riverbed. God had just taken his daughter, young daughter. And I said to him, "Brother, is God good?" He said to me, "Kieran, God is very good." And that was a man who just lost his daughter. There was a man meeting his God on the riverbed. I know of other people who have met God on the riverbed. I think of Hannah. There's a woman who wanted a kid so badly that we're told that her soul was bitter. And she cried. And she prayed to the Lord, it said, by the way. She prayed. She didn't say, "Oh, you know, God, what have you done for me? I've done nothing but serve you. Where's my child?" No. She prayed. She met God on the riverbed. I'm thinking about Job. Job lost his family, his house. He lost his livestock. He lost all service in an afternoon. All gone. And what did he do? We're told he fell down and he worshiped God. There's a man who met God on the riverbed. Right? I'm thinking about Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They were thrown into a fiery furnace. And what were they doing? They were walking around with the Son of God. Those were men who met God on the riverbed. You think of Paul and Silas. We're told that they were beaten and whipped and thrown in jail, and they were shackled. And what were they doing about midnight? While their backs were opened up and bleeding, we're told that they were singing praises to God. Those were men who met God on the riverbed. men who met God on the riverbed. I get encouraged. What about you? When you talk to people who are going through fire and water, and yet who are meeting God on the riverbed. Who know that their God is there. You know, who have actually drawn close enough to God to get the question answered, are you in this place or what? Are you with me? And they get that answer, don't they? And they get how much God loves them. And they can sing for joy while the tears are flowing down their eyes, and when their soul is in pain, and when they are in anguish because they know what it is to meet God on the riverbed. You met God on the riverbed? If you've met God on the riverbed, brother, sister, you got a story worth telling. You got a story worth telling. Because in this world, people do not meet with their God on the riverbed. They get to the riverbed and their lives fall apart, their families fall apart. But you got another story, don't you? You know what it is to go through fire and water, to go through trial, and to know what it is to have God sustain your heart, and to draw near to Him, and to know that He is for you in Jesus Christ. Don't you know that? Well, listen, if you know that, you've got the greatest story. So don't keep your lips closed. Open your mouth. Tell people. Tell your brother. Tell your sister about how you met God on the riverbed, and don't worry about coming across as being super pious and super spiritual. Don't worry about that. Man, there's a brother, there's a sister who could become so alive and get so elevated and get so stoked and excited to hear what God is doing in your life. When I talked to my brother, and his daughter had been taken away, and he told me that God is good for him on the riverbed, you know, I thought to myself, wow, you know, God could be that for me, couldn't He? He could be that for me. He could sustain me and strengthen me right there on my riverbed. Can't He? There's a world, friends, that needs to know what it is to meet your God on the riverbed. There's a generation, right, parents? Parents that need to hear about how God has brought you through and how you've met God right there in the midst of affliction. There's a world out there, friends, that just would be so blessed to hear that story. You got that story? Then go out here tonight and memorialize your God. Memorialize the great truth that He's brought you to the riverbank. You met Him on the riverbank. And life has been good because He is. Yeah? Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank You this evening that Your plans for our struggles are so far beyond even who we are that they can reach through us to a new generation, to the next group. And Lord, we thank You for all the faithful records in the Word of God of people who met You in hard places. And Lord, we pray that we would be like that. And more, Lord, that we would broadcast the good things that You've done. That You are the Lord and our God and our Redeemer. Father, may our lips be bound to memorialize Your praises forever and ever. Amen.